It's good to see each of y'all. My name is Taylor Holt, and I am the college minister. And I just want to take a moment to welcome any visitors that we have with us. We're so glad that you chose to be with us this morning. And if you're a member, if you see someone you don't recognize, take a moment after services and just go and say hello, shake their hand, let them know we're happy that they're here, and that they're welcome here anytime. If you are a visitor with us this morning, we'd love to get to know more about you. If you want to, you can scan this QR code on the screen, and it'll take you to our website where you can fill out a connection form and give us a little bit more information about you so that we can best serve you as a church. And so whether you're here just visiting once or if you're looking for a church home, we'd love to be able to connect with you in that way. We have several ways to get information if you're looking to be involved in what we have going on from a day-to-day basis throughout the week. That first website is our main church website, but as you can see, there's also the youth website that keeps you up to date with what's going on with our youth group, as well as our campus ministry website, texansforchrist.org, which allows you to, if you're a college student, you can get plugged in and know what's going on with our college ministry, and we'd love to have you be involved with that. Facebook is also another great way to know what's going on with our church family, with different announcements that get sent out through there. So great ways to stay plugged in and to be engaged. This morning, we'll have children's church for ages 3 through 5 that'll dismiss after the children's offering. We'll also have an attended nursery for those under 3 years old, which is just down the hall in the first door on the right, going down the hall for any children under 3. Dawn and Jeanette asked for us to announce this this morning. This Tuesday, December 7th at 5:30 across the street in the Family Center, the Duracells will have a Christmas get-together. And so she asked if you would, if you plan on coming, please bring a salad or a dessert. She's going to have live entertainment provided. And then she wanted me to also let y'all know anybody's welcome. It doesn't have to just be Duracells if you want to come. They'd love to have you. So that'll be this Tuesday at 5:30 over in the Family Center. Also, tomorrow night, the youth group girls are going to have a girls' night out at the Copelands where they get to make ornaments and have dinner together and have a good time with that. So that'll be tomorrow night at 6 p.m. At the Copelands house. Finally, we have some more reason to celebrate. We want to congratulate our football team. Still keeping it going. We're 14-0, and we've got two more games to go. And so if you were there on Friday night, I'm sure you saw how many people were filling up the stands. That was crazy. But we've been supporting them all year long. We've been turning out for them, and we're really proud of the coaches, the players, and just everybody that's involved with that. And I just want to keep it going. So this Friday at 7 o'clock in Frisco at the Star, show up and be loud, and let's cheer them on again. Finally, this morning, we're going to take a moment to honor our December graduates with our college ministry. And so let's bring that same energy that we have for our football team, and let's congratulate our graduates this morning. We've got 4 graduates that we want to honor this morning, and so we've got 2 of them that are here. 2 of them were not able to be here, and so we're going to recognize each of them this morning. And we have a special gift from the congregation that we want to be able to give them. And so for the 2 of y'all that are here this morning, when I do call your name, if y'all will come up to the front, Whitney will have a gift for you, and then you'll just stand up here awkwardly until I get done talking about you. But we'll have a prayer over our graduates at the end to kind of wrap that up. So first this morning, we're going to start off with Paige Allen. You can clap. Yeah. Paige is getting her degree in education with a 4th through 8th grade English language arts and reading teacher certification. her future plans, she wants to move back to East Texas to be closer to her family, and she's going to be praying that God will open the right opportunity for her to get in the right school district and be able to flourish and make a great impact on her young students. Paige said that her favorite memory in Texans for Christ, well, she said if she has to choose one, it would be when we went to Rio Doce, New Mexico, for our spring break trip, and we were listening to music in the van. Cooper came up with some silly phrase like he usually does, music makes the road go fast. And so by the end of the year, I think Kyle, another one of our students, made a song out of it, and it's become kind of a inside joke among our ministry, but just a great memory for her. Her favorite scripture is Luke 15:4-7, the parable of the lost sheep. It reads, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Paige Allen. All right, next we have Kyle Day. Kyle is getting a degree in kinesiology with all-level PE teaching certification. His future plans are to teach and coach at the high school level. And he says his favorite memory in Texans for Christ was Spring Retreat 2019, which he refers to as the retreat. His favorite scripture is Romans 12:2. And in honor of Kyle, who thinks that New King James is the only version that you can read, I'm going to read it in New King James for you. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Kyle Day. Sorry, I forgot to change the slide for him, but there he is. All right, next is Anna Hatcher. And Anna wasn't able to be here this morning. She has been student teaching this semester, and so she's been off away from Stephenville, away from campus this semester. Anna is getting her degree in agricultural education. Her future plans are to be a welding teacher. Her favorite memory in Texans for Christ is going on retreats and all the friends that she has met during her time at Tarleton. And her favorite scripture is Matthew 6:34, which reads, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Anna Hatcher. All right, and then finally we have Elliot Van. Elliot's getting his degree in agricultural services and development with teaching certification. He plans to become an ag teacher. He says his favorite memory in Texans for Christ is his freshman year on the fall retreat. He remembers one night we were gathered together, singing, reading scriptures, and just opening up ourselves to each other. And he said that night he really just felt like he got to know himself and the people in the ministry so much better. And just says he'll always remember that. And Elliot's favorite scripture is James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Elliot Van. We're going to take a moment to pray over our graduates. And so if you would please bow with me as we pray a blessing over them. Lord, we're so thankful for each of these four students. God, we're thankful for the time that they've spent here in our congregation and in our community. And God, I'm thankful for the time that we've gotten to spend with them through the ministry and just all the ways that they have served you and loved you during their college years. And God, I just pray that you'll bless them as they go into this next step in their life. So proud of each of them for wanting to teach and to make an impact on young people, and that's so needed, God. And I'm just thankful, Lord, that each of them take their faith so seriously and can have a positive Christian impact on young people as they look to teach in the school districts. And God, I just ask that you'll continue to bless them, continue to give them the courage and the strength to live out their faith each and every day. And God, I just pray that we can continue to support them from afar, that we can continue to be a blessing in their lives in just whatever way we can, Lord. We thank you, God, for just everything you do and for connections like these that we're able to make that can last a lifetime and that lets us know that we're not alone in this world, that we have a faith community that loves us, that supports us, that will be there for us, and that we have you, God, that does the same. We thank you, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Finally, I'll let George get up here eventually, but this morning's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.'" Let's pray one more time. Lord, we ask as we gather here this morning that you will just place it upon our hearts to remember why we gather here each week. I pray that this morning as we sing praise to you, as we look to your word, as David shares from your word, that we can make it all about you, Lord, that you can listen to our hearts and know that we love you, that we are devoted to you, that we want to give you everything we have to offer. And God, I pray that we can each be encouraged this morning as we leave here to go out into the world and to be able to be a light to those around us, be able to fulfill the mission that you have for each one of us, God. So thankful for the blessing it is to be able to come here and to have a church family, to be able to gather together, support one another, love one another, fellowship with one another, Lord. And I just ask that you'll continue to bless this church family, continue to give us opportunities in this community to be the light that we need to be, Lord. We thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm going to ask when I go like this during the song that we all stand, please. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard, who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe. I stand in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. Amen. If we can remain standing for this last song. Next song. Make it short. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let the praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fears assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternal love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen. Please be seated. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest in my Savior, and happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. If for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest to our souls will be given on the eternal shore. Home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam. Free from all care, happy and bright, Jesus is there. He is the light off in the storm. Lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee, beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal sea. Yes, a sweet rest is remaining for the true children of God, where there will be no complaining, never a chastening rod. And we're going home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam. Free from all care, happy and bright, Jesus is there. He is the light off in the storm. Lonely are we, Sighing for home, longing for thee, beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal sea. Soon the bright homeland adorning, we shall behold the glad dawn. Lean on the Lord till the morning, trust in his night is gone. And we're going home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam, free from all care, happy and bright. Jesus is there, he is the light. Off in the storm, lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee, beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal sea. Amen. This next song is to prepare us for the Lord's Supper. Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. He loved me. He loved me. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so. Why did he drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross be lifted up? Because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so. Till Jesus comes, I'll sing his praise, and then to glory go and reign with him through endless days. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so.
If you don't have one of these little cups with some wafer and juice in it, here it is. Raise your hand, they'll bring it to you. And then if you want to, go ahead and open up that cracker So you have an hour to get the package open. You know, the Gospel of John is my favorite in Scripture. I think John has a unique perspective on Jesus. He writes differently than the other authors of Gospel. Each of those Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they have a perspective that they're trying to give us. And I think John is, he's the most honest in the way that he writes. He talks about people in different ways than the other writers. And one of my favorite passages is in John chapter 13, where Jesus, they're preparing this Passover, and they've spent time together in the upper room, and Jesus comes in and he washes the disciples' feet. And these guys, each one of them has to be having their own thoughts. And when I sit down for communion and I think about perspectives of the Lord's Supper, I have to examine myself, and I hope you do as well. But I think each one of those disciples was thinking about Jesus washing his feet. And some of them are looking at it one way and some another. Peter, we know what he's thinking. He's like, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? No way. And yet Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part of me. And I wonder what Judas was thinking when Jesus started washing his feet. And when Jesus said, the one who dips the morsel, that I dip this morsel and I put it in his mouth, he's the guy that's going to betray me. I wonder what John was thinking about as he watched Judas take that morsel. And as I think about what Jesus did there, I think sometimes he gave that morsel to me. Because sometimes I betray him too. And yet, he died for my sins the same way he died for yours, for Peter's, for Judas. And as we sit down and we take this Lord's Supper, we share this wafer and this cup, I hope that you and I will think about the price that Jesus really paid for what we've done. Let's pray together. Father, sometimes we miss the mark, and we don't live or think or do as we should. I pray for your forgiveness. And sometimes we don't praise Jesus the way that we should, the times that we should. I pray that we will be encouraged to do that, because what he did was amazing. And the blood that flows from him covers our sins. And as we partake of this body, this bread that represents Jesus' body, it's broken for us, pray that each one of us will remember his sacrifice, but also remember his victory. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Father, as we continue with this cup, our thoughts dwell on Christ and those drops of blood that he wept. The blood that came from a crown of thorns that they placed on his head, blood that flowed from the wounds in his hands and feet, from his side.
but also the resurrection. The amazing victory that comes that when we choose to follow Jesus, we are covered in his blood, and you no longer see our sins. You don't see our mistakes, but you see Jesus. Father, I pray that you'll see Jesus in us every day. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. God's Word shall never fail, never fail, never fail. God's Word shall never fail, no, no, no. Jesus can satisfy, satisfy, satisfy. Jesus can satisfy, yes, yes, yes. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. I stand alone in the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E.
All right, this is the part I'm more familiar with. Good morning, church. Good to see everybody this morning. I always start my sermon with a prayer. I'd like to include our football team and all the people connected with that. When we think about everybody that's involved in this, and you may think, you know, we come to church to do church. We don't come to talk about football. But you think about how many people in our congregation are connected with this football team. I mean, we've got the players, we've got coaches, we've got families, we've got cheerleaders, we've got all these connections of what's going on with this wonderful process that's going on. I sent Sterling, I should say Coach Doty. I shouldn't just say Sterling when I'm talking about the coach of the football team. I sent him a text, and I congratulated him and everything, and I said this was late in the night after the ball game, and I knew he'd be awake. So I said, hey, could you get your team to play Georgia tomorrow for Alabama? And this is what he said. I thought this was really good. He said, we wouldn't back down. And I believe that about this team, about the people who support this team. We wouldn't back down. I don't think they'd back down. Now, luckily, Alabama didn't need their help, but I appreciate the fact that Coach Doty would be willing to do that and they wouldn't back down. I want to pray for them, for those who are traveling. There's so much that's going into this, and I think it's important that we be of support and encouragement. Let's have everybody that's connected with the team, everybody that's family, everybody that's involved in the cheering, everybody that's a part of this, would you just stand and let's kind of illustrate how many people this involves. Would you just stand up, everybody? I want you to look around, see how many people that includes. And that's not counting all the fans, okay? All right? While you're standing, let's have a prayer. Okay, would you bow with me? Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to enjoy the great things that are happening in life. We enjoy this opportunity that we have to cheer on champions. And we all need champions in our life. And we thank for the example that's being set before us. There's a lot of traveling that's going on during this part of our activities as a church family. We ask, Father, for a blessing of safety. A safety in travel. Safety during the games. Safety in remembering to keep our minds where they need to be. And being good sports, having the right attitude. And Father, help us to be winners. Not always will that be on the field, though, Father, we know. Help us to be winners, people who emphasize winning through our connection with Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Thank you. Thank you. I want to talk about baby announcements for the next few weeks. There are three types of baby announcements I'm going to emphasize in this series of lessons. One is the baby announcement that you've heard about what a family does when they say, we're pregnant, you know, we're expecting. A couple of weeks ago, we played a video of Jacob and Savannah announcing that they're expecting, and they ask us to be praying for them. And we, of course, want to support them in that. They're part of our church family, even though they're in Oklahoma. And so we rejoice in the fact that they're expecting. And we know several of us in our families. I remember our daughter and son-in-law that live in Fort Worth, and they weren't able to have a child. They kept finding that people were saying they couldn't do it, you know, and they went to doctors and so forth. And finally, they were expecting. And that announcement was so exciting for them. But I tell you what, there were some grandparents that were really excited about that too. And we really, really get excited about that announcement. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. On the 19th, I'm going to talk about it's a boy. You know, you've seen these videos, haven't you, of the gender reveal things, the little things that people do to, they find out what, it's going to be a boy, it's going to be a girl, you know, and they do different things. I'm going to show you a couple of videos about that, and maybe some that didn't go so smoothly. But anyway, I'm going to do that in the next sermon about this. But when it's revealed about who Jesus is, there's a whole lot more than just the idea that it's a boy, okay? And then on the Sunday after Christmas, on the 26th, of course, we're announcing he's here. He's been born. But what does that mean? What does that mean to announce that the long-awaited Messiah has come? So that's what we're going to deal with. So buckle your seatbelts because we're going to have to go really fast through some things this morning. But I want you to understand a little bit about why the anticipation of this baby being born was so high. Why the excitement, anticipation at the time that Jesus was born was higher than normal. And we get a hint of this in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It says, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Now notice what it says, when the time had fully come. There was a particular time that God brought about the birth of Jesus for a reason. And many things went into the anticipation of when would be the right time to bring God in the flesh into the world. So let me give you 12 reasons for this anticipation. And we're going to go really quickly on this. So you may want to go back and study these later, these slides that are recorded. They'll be available on the website. And so you may want to study this more. To begin with, Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. We know that a child was going to be born of a woman sometime that would bring about the salvation of the people of God. That would bring about a defeat of what Satan did in the garden by tempting Eve to eat of that fruit. And God said that through woman, there would be one that would be born that would defeat Satan and win a victory over sin and death. Now, of course, we find in Hebrews chapter 2, that person that would be born to do that was Jesus. Secondly, that person would be of the seed of Abraham, according to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And this person is not talking about Isaac, because it goes on to explain about things that can't be fulfilled by Isaac. But the seed, someone who would be born of Abraham's descendants, would bless all nations. Not just the descendants of Abraham, but all nations of the world would be blessed. And of course, in Galatians chapter 3, we find that that seed that's being talked about is Jesus Christ. Thirdly, this child would be born of Judah. Remember, Jacob, Israel had 12 sons, that there would be tribes come out of his descendants and so forth. But his son Judah would be the one through whom this child would be born that would bless the nations of the world. And he would be given authority, and it uses the symbolism of a star and a scepter, that this would be given to him and it would never depart from him, according to Genesis 49:10 and Numbers chapter 24. Number four, he would be born to be a prophet like Moses, according to Deuteronomy 18, but he would be greater than Moses. And everyone, not just the people of Israel, but everyone should listen to him and obey him, because he is God's appointed spokesman. In Matthew chapter 17, we find that this is specifically applying to Jesus. Remember, he appears on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah, the greatest of the leaders of the people among them, the prophets of God, Moses and Elijah, representing all the great prophets. And it tells us that this Deuteronomy 18 passage was fulfilled in Jesus. Number five, he would fulfill the promise given to King David, that God would build David a house, and one of his descendants would sit on David's throne and reign forever. Now, we know it wasn't talking about Solomon, because Solomon didn't reign forever. He died, lost his throne at his death. We know it wasn't talking about him. Someone else would come along that would be a descendant of David, who, when he was given the throne of David, he would reign forever. This prophecy is given in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we begin to realize in Acts chapter 2 that Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise given to David. Number six, David himself prophesied about this descendant that would be the king, the coming Messiah. In Psalms 110, verse 4, he says, he will be like Melchizedek. He will be both a priest and a king. Now, if he's born of the tribe of Judah, that means he is a descendant of Judah, and David is a descendant of Judah. That makes sense. He's one of David's descendants. But he's not of the tribe of Levi, from which the priests come. And so this is a unique thing about this particular descendant of David that would be able to be both a priest and a king like Melchizedek. We also find that David prophesies in Psalms chapter 2 that he would suffer for the saving of the nations, and yet he would die and not stay dead, according to Psalms 22. Number seven, Isaiah speaks of this Messiah, the anointed one, who would set the captives free, according to chapter 61 of Isaiah. And he would be the righteous one that would make intercession for all people's sins, according to Isaiah 53. We know from the New Testament that the fulfillment of that is in Jesus. In Isaiah, he also tells us this, that branch of Jesse, and remember, Jesse was the father of David, this branch of Jesse, this descendant of David, would bring about deliverance and salvation, and that he would be born to a young maiden, which could also be interpreted to be a virgin. It can be interpreted either way, a young maiden or a virgin. But someone who was a young maiden would have this child that would be known as Emmanuel, which means God with us, according to Isaiah 7:14. We find that the fulfillment of that actually was a virgin, Mary, that she would have a child. And she had it without having a relationship with man, and therefore was a virgin, in Matthew chapter 1:23 and also Luke chapter 1. It also says in Isaiah that this child that would be born would speak with the authority of God the Father, and he would reign over others as the Prince of Peace. And Micah, who was at the same period of time as Isaiah, prophesied that he would be born in the town of Bethlehem, the town of David. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Number 9. Jeremiah speaks of this righteous branch of David. Again, notice this emphasis on him being a descendant of David. This righteous branch of David, Jeremiah 23, verse 5, who will save and be called the Lord our righteousness. This child would be called Yahweh righteousness. And he will rule as God's shepherd like King David, according to Ezekiel 34, verses 23 and 24. Number 10, this child would be born, will be the Messianic king, and he will be introduced by Elijah. Elijah, even though Elijah is taken up to glory, he's no longer around anymore. Generations after Elijah, it is said that Elijah will introduce this Messiah into the world. And according to Malachi chapters 3 and 4, that he would be the one who would turn the people's hearts toward God again, even though they have been rebellious. And he would clear the pathway for the coming Messiah, Isaiah chapter 40. And he would be presented before the people in humility, riding on a colt, bringing salvation to the world. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8, and chapter 9, verse 9. It's interesting in this, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, it talks about the idea that he would come to the temple. He would come to the temple. So there has to be a temple at the time of his coming. That's important for a period of time. During this time after the end of Malachi's prophecy, there's 400 years of silence. No prophetic teaching among the people. That doesn't mean the Jewish nation is completely died out. It doesn't mean that the people of God are not trying to fight to be independent as a nation of people for God. But there wasn't the prophetic teaching of people like Isaiah and Elijah and Jeremiah and so forth. And you have this period of silence. And it comes to the Roman Empire. And this fits in Daniel chapter 2. Where Nebuchadnezzar had the dream about the statue, remember? And when Daniel comes and interprets the dream for the king, he says, "You, Almighty King, and your kingdom is the first part, the head part of the statue." And then he goes through the different parts of the statue, and there are four parts which represent four kingdoms or empires. And he said, "During the time of the fourth kingdom, a small stone taken without hands will strike the statue and bring it down, and then this small stone will become a mighty mountain unto God. It'll be a great nation unto God." Now, in this teaching, we know that it's talking about the fourth kingdom is the Roman Empire because of the successive kingdoms from Babylonian Empire with Nebuchadnezzar down to the Roman Empire. And it is the time of the Roman Empire that Jesus is born. We also know from Daniel that when the things are accomplished that are supposed to be accomplished, the Son of Man will come before the Ancient of Days, God the Father, and he will be given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that will last forever, according to Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. The people have been being taught all of this during this period of silence. The scriptures have been interpreted or translated into Greek, and they have spread by the Greek language throughout the synagogues that have started in all the communities where the Jews meet together and they talk about the coming Messiah. And when we come to the time of Jesus' birth, there is a great anticipation of Jesus being born now, fulfilling the prophecies, that everything is pointing toward now being the time. There was even the feeling that because Abraham was told that a day would come when his people would go into slavery for 400 years and then God would set them free and build them into a great nation, that God was doing it again. That again, after a period of 400 years of silence, God was about to do something great. God was about to establish his kingdom. And in the synagogues, the teaching and the things that was being taught by the Pharisees and by the scribes and so forth was that the time is now, the time is right for God to start this wonderful kingdom by the Messiah that has been prophesied. And they were emphasizing these prophets over and over. It is during this period of time the announcement is made. The fulfillment of time, the announcement is being made. A child is coming. And so we have three announcements of the pregnancy, if you will, in the Gospels. One is to Mary, obviously. Mary is told in Luke chapter 1 by an angel, you're going to have a child. And Mary says, how can this be? I haven't had relations with a man. How can I have a child? And the angel says to you, the child that's going to be born to you will be of the Holy Spirit. And he will be called the Son of Most High. He will be called the Son of God. And he is a descendant of David, and he will sit on David's throne. Pointing to the prophecies that have been given. There's also an announcement that's given to Joseph. That announcement is not so exciting because in this process of Joseph and Mary, of course, Joseph comes to know that Mary is pregnant, and it's very disconcerting to him. What has Mary done? She's not been a nice girl, but I love her. I don't want her to get in trouble over this. I'll put her away secretly so that no harm will come to her. And Joseph has this dream, this vision of an angel talking to him and saying, Joseph, it's okay. The child that she is bearing is from the Holy Spirit. She's able to have a child because of the miraculous work of God. And this child that will be born by her, you will call him Jesus, which is the Old Testament name, Joshua, which means the Lord saves. And he'll be known as Emmanuel, God with us, because he has come to save his people. And so Joseph knew that this would be okay. This is going to work out. The third announcement of this idea that Mary is expecting was to Elizabeth. And there's a relationship like cousins or something like that between Elizabeth and Mary. And we don't know that Mary knows that Elizabeth knows. Does that make sense? And we don't know that she knows, because when we're reading in Luke chapter 1, all we know is that Mary has gone to visit Elizabeth. And what I assume is she's going to tell Elizabeth about the baby she's going to have. Now, Elizabeth is at an age and of health that she can't have a baby, but God has miraculously made it possible for Elizabeth and Zechariah to have a child. And that child is going to be John the Baptist, who is going to be the one who comes in the form of Elijah to announce the Messiah is coming. But we don't know that Elizabeth really knows. It says in this passage that the Holy Spirit revealed it to Elizabeth. And when Mary enters into the door, John the Baptist that's in her womb leaps for joy as Mary comes in bearing the child, Jesus. And Elizabeth says, it's been revealed to me that you have this child, and the child I am bearing has celebrated his entrance into our house. Three great announcements of pregnancy. Now, not exactly like the announcements of pregnancy that we have. You know, it's not on Facebook. You know, we don't have any YouTube videos of this great announcement of, you know, Mary's pregnant, they're expecting a baby. You know, there's no letters that are sent out announcing the pregnancy of Mary, but it's announced by angels and miraculous visions and by the Holy Spirit. And it's announced that this baby is going to be very, very special. And in this season, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. We celebrate the fact that this child that came into this world is so very special. Something I want you to notice about Mary. When Mary realizes that everybody knows now that needs to know, God has made that information available through angels, through visions, through the Holy Spirit. Everybody knows that needs to know. And she's at peace with this. She said, "Lord, do you your servant as you will. Let your will be done in me." And she breaks out in song. And when you read this song, you see, oh, she is so excited about the fact that she's going to have a baby. She's not afraid of it anymore. And she's so excited about who this baby is because she's kind of connecting the dots. Even though she doesn't say yet, you know, exactly what she understands about him. And she's still confused about some things because later on we find that she's still gaining information and treasuring these things in her heart. But she knows enough to know this. This is a special baby. This is a special baby of God. And this baby has come to do what God has called the Messiah to do. And so she starts singing a song. And when you read her song, and oh, don't you wish we had a recording of this? Wouldn't it be great to hear Mary sing this song? She sings this song of praise to God, and she thanks him that she's going to have a baby. And she thanks him for how special this baby is. But Mary does much more than that. She thanks God for allowing Mary, to be a part of God's prophetic plan. In Mary's mind, there may have been all these scriptures that I've talked to you about this morning. She may think about from learning those scriptures from her family, from being around people talking about the prophecies. Have you heard? Did you know this? Did you know this prophecy? Do you remember what Jeremiah said? Do you remember what Isaiah said? And she's thanking God that she has been allowed to be a part of God's prophetic plan. Of all the people in the world that God could have chosen to bear this child, God chose her to be a part of the fulfillment of his prophetic plan. She doesn't stop at thanking him that she's going to have a baby. She thanks God that she is able to be a part of the plan. One of the things that maybe we don't do enough of in the Christmas season is to thank God that he's allowed us to be part of the prophetic plan. There's a lot of people who celebrate Christmas that don't even really think about thanking God for the baby that was born. They don't really even think about Jesus as being the Savior, as being the promised Messiah. Of all that went into the plan of bringing this about, we have an opportunity at this season, while people have an opportunity to have a lot of visual stimulus to think about what God is doing. We have a chance to be a witness about the fact that a very special child came in this world to bring a saving of God's people, of bringing about salvation to all people of the world. We have a great opportunity in that. But it's more than that. You have an opportunity to thank God that you specifically, individually, are a part of God's plan. To thank God that of all the plans that God had of through the centuries of bringing this all together, that he has let you be a part of that plan. You have that opportunity. When Jesus was born into the world, he was born for you. When he died on the cross, he was dying for you. When Jesus raised from the grave and gave us the hope of eternal life, he was doing it for you, you individually. of all the people in the world, of all the people to be born at this particular time in history, to be able to know the fulfillment of the plan. God didn't choose for me to be Abraham or to be Elijah or to be Jeremiah or to be Isaiah or to be Micah or Malachi, wondering, okay, what is this? You know, God, you've called me to be a part of a prophecy, but what's the fulfillment of it? When is it going to happen? How is it going to happen? How are you going to bring this about, God? I get to live at this time when the fulfillment of the plan is done, and I get to know the secret of all secrets, that the Messiah is Jesus. Jesus, born of Mary, who lived his life to show me God and died on the cross for my sins. And he raised from the dead to give me hope that I will someday raise from the dead. Of all times to live, thank you, God, for making me a part of the fulfillment of your prophetic plan. If I choose to accept that gift, if I choose to be a part of it. You see, if I don't choose by faith to accept what Jesus has done for me, what God has done for me, all that wonderful plan of God for me is wasted. Most of you in this room probably have experienced baptism. You remember what was said at your baptism? If your baptism was like mine, somebody helped you to go into that water by saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins. At that moment, I joined in that water the story of God's whole plan from the beginning of time. I accepted the grace of God that was extended to me to be a part of that story. I wasn't standing back in the shadows on the fringe saying, oh, that's a cute little story. That's a wonderful story about how you prophesied that Jesus would come and that he would be born of a virgin and all of that stuff. I wasn't standing on the outside looking in and thinking what a wonderful little story that is. I became a part of the story. I said, I believe it, and I joined the story of Jesus, and it became my story. His death and his burial and his resurrection became my death and my burial, and my resurrection. And I joined God's prophetic plan. Hundreds and hundreds of years of bringing it about. I became a part of it. It became mine. So when Mary praises God, she doesn't just thank him, oh, thank you, Lord, for giving me a baby. Mary praises God saying, thank you for choosing me to be a part of this plan. And friends, I pray today that every one of you can make that praise to God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for letting me be a part of your plan. And today, if you can't say that, today, if you can't be a part of that story because you haven't accepted it by faith, you haven't been obedient to the Lord's will, I beg of you today, make this the day that you say, God, thank you. Thank you for making me a part of your plan. Today is a wonderful day. Regardless of what we're going through, regardless of what kind of tragedies we're facing in our life, no matter what kind of difficulties we're facing, it's a wonderful day because we have hope. Because God has had a plan for us since the beginning. And he invites every one of us to be a part of that plan. Will you give yourself to Jesus? Will you accept by faith what he's done for you? Will you join his story by being buried with him in his baptism His death, His burial, and resurrection. And will you become a part of the plan of God that rejoices in the hope that we have? Not just in the baby Jesus, but in the Savior of the world. Let's stand and sing.
Just as I am without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me come to
Church, I want to introduce you to somebody. This is Kylie Duvall, and she is a freshman at Tarleton in her first semester. And if you don't know Kylie, some of y'all might, because she's been coming to Graham Street over the semester, both on Sundays and Wednesdays, and so you've probably seen her around. But if you don't know Kylie, I want to encourage you to get to know her, because this girl, she truly has the heart of Christ in her. She's literally one of the most caring and loving people I think I've probably ever met. And over the course of this semester, Whitney has had the opportunity to study the Bible with Kylie weekly. And this past Wednesday, when they met for their Bible study, she let Whitney know that she was ready to be baptized. And so Whitney and I are so proud of her and are excited for her in this moment and this decision that she's made. And so, Kylie, in Romans 10:9, Paul writes that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. And I think that's a wonderful reminder to us that this moment for you in your life is not just about the forgiveness of sins, although it's so much about that. It's not just about, you know, receiving the Holy Spirit. It's also the point in your life where you're admitting to God, I don't want control of my life anymore. I don't want to be my own Lord. I need you. I need Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And so I'm going to ask you right now, Kylie, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for your sins and that he was risen from the grave? And do you believe that he is your Lord and Savior?
I do.
All right, so we're going to head backstage and we're going to baptize you here in a second.
While we're waiting on Jim. Jim, can you switch it to the next slide? This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My hazards are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. And shouting victory, their song of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen.
Kylie, based on your confession, I am going to now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Praise God. We rejoice with Kylie and Heaven as they appreciate and love her for what she's done and the decision she's made to serve God. I was asked to make an announcement and to pray for a lady. Amy asked me to announce that Rosie Prada, one of the ladies that works at Basic Needs, her sister is in the hospital. I don't know her name, but her sister's in the hospital with a blood infection, and she asked us to pray for her sister. So, if we'll do that in just a minute. Appreciate everybody being here this morning. It's been a great day to be together. Thank you for being here. If you're a visitor, we appreciate you being here too. Here's another announcement. The Basic Needs box in the foyer is now the place for the gift cards for our giveaway at the Christmas dinner. No food boxes this year, just gift cards from area restaurants and fast food places, and that's from Lee. If there's nothing else, would y'all pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice right now as we know that Heaven rejoices over Kylie's decision to serve you and to live for you. May each of us be an encouragement to her in coming days as she starts a new walk in her life. She's made a change, and we ask for you to give her strength, to give her guidance, and to help her to serve you. And may each of us be an encouragement to her in this walk. We want to remember Rosie's sister right now. She's in the hospital with this blood infection. We pray that the doctors could do what is needed for her, that they would give her the right medications to take care of that infection, to allow her to become whole again and to be back on her feet. Just bless her in that effort, and that bless the doctors as they work with her. We're so thankful that you love us. We're thankful for Jesus, and we're thankful for that sacrifice that allows us to be in the right relationship with you. Help each of us to seek you each day. Help us to serve you and to honor you with our lives. We pray that our time this morning has been a blessing to each one of us, as well as an encouragement to keep on serving you. We want to remember our graduates from college as they start a new phase in their lives. We want to remember Paige and Kyle, Anna and Ellett. Bless them as they go forward, because they're going to be a light wherever they live and wherever they serve. Give them the strength that they need. May they be involved with a church family to give them the strength and encouragement that they need from day to day. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the spirit that you've put in us to guide us, to serve you. And may we always allow that spirit to work in our lives. May we never quench that spirit. Allow it to be the light in our lives so that we can be a light to those around us. We ask all this through Christ. Amen. You're dismissed.